Libya shares a border with both Tunisia and Algeria. So far, the latter is just watching the upheaval across the Arab world. Most Algerians say their country is still too scarred by the violence of the 1990s to endure another uprising. Nearly 200,000 people died during that decade when the Algerian state battled an Islamic insurgency. The 90s remain a lost decade for most Algerians, and no group feels it more acutely than Algerian women. More from Eleanor Beardsley.
Children play in the crowded lanes of the Algiers Kasbah, a hilly neighborhood of mosques and cramped houses that overlooks the Mediterranean Sea. Most of the women here are veiled, some even cover their faces. But ironically, this traditional quarter is also the birthplace of Algerian female emancipation. It was here that women joined men to fight the French during the War for Independence in the late 1950s. The famous Battle of Algiers took place here, and photos of the women martyrs hang on tea house walls. Across town, in a more modern neighborhood, Nadia Ait Zai runs a women's association. She says Algerian men and women are equal under some laws, like the ones governing the workplace, but a special law called the Family Code keeps women from true emancipation.
Algeria and Morocco still have these archaic, rigid Muslim laws that govern family life. They allow the husband to be able to unilaterally divorce his wife and permit polygamy for the man. So it's these kinds of things that are holding us back.
Ait Zai says in real life, Algerian women take more rights than they're given on paper. Massive protests at the end of the 80s brought political reform and greater freedoms for everyone, especially women, with increased female literacy and employment. But that era of hope and openness ended when the Islamist insurgency plunged the country into a brutal civil war that lasted through the 1990s. Ait Zai calls that decade a devastating setback for women.
It was horrible because the Islamists' first targets were women. For them, the change in society began with the total submission of women. They wanted women to stay home, wear the veil, and just be procreators.
Ait Zai and other women say they're only just now regaining what they lost during the Civil War, known as the Black Decade. While most people reject extremist Islam, society is more conservative now, says Ait Zai. She says more women wear the Muslim veil and most don't work outside the home. One exception is the medical profession. More than half of Algeria's doctors are women. Dr. Amel Abbes practices forensic medicine at one of Algiers' main hospitals. She also teaches at the local university. Abbas says Algerian society is macho like the rest of the Mediterranean world. But she says young women are proving themselves today by excelling in their studies. Most of her female students might wear the veil, she says, but it doesn't mean they don't stand up for their rights.
I see their reactions when I teach some things about our criminal code. They're revolted, they don't agree, and they show their disgust with the male students who are generally more conservative.
Abbas is talking about Algeria's laws that don't allow victims of rape to receive an abortion unless the rapist is a terrorist. Abbas says that caveat was added by the government during the warped decade of the Civil War. On the streets of Algiers, many women wear the veil, others don't. But Algerian women say the veil is not an issue in their emancipation. What matters is their family situation. Unlike most Algerian women her age, 40-year-old Salima Ben Hadid is not married and she has a paying job. Both give her a rare independence.
The Algerian woman is always dependent on a man, especially if she does not work. And if she divorces, she may end up with nothing and then be dependent on her brothers or her parents. That's the real problem.
Ben Hadid, feminist Ait Zai, and other women here say their lower status within the family is at the core of their inequality. They say true emancipation will come with work, independence, and, of course, amendments to the family code. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley.
Mm-hmm.